and cause warming.
One of the points you made earlier was the huge response from the public and industry to CFCs, hole in the ozone layer. Now, that hole in the ozone layer was not going to affect most of the people who reacted there and then, but they did react, and we got one of the most successful treaties ever out of that. Why have we, despite the demonstrable evidence that we have got a climate problem, why do you think we're seeing such a lot of inertia? Is it that it's such a hard nut to crack? Throwing away a few aerosols was relatively easy compared to completely changing our lives because we had become so addicted to a carbon-based source of energy. Is that the reason?
I think that's part of the reason. The other thing is that we're late to the party a little bit here because it wasn't as obvious initially. I think that people become concerned about an environmental problem when two P's are satisfied. They have to think that it's personal to them, and they have to think that it's perceptible to them. So, you know, in the case of climate change, I think people are now recognizing it as a personal risk. You know, lots of people are dying in heat waves and tremendous damage being done in extreme rainstorms that are worsened because of more water in the air, because warmer air holds more water. So it's become personal, it's become perceptible. But there's a third P that is part of solving any environmental problem, and that is that people have to believe that the solutions are practical. And unfortunately, I think we've been sold somewhat a bill of goods, but also the evolution of this problem has been so fast that it's hard to follow. So people have believed that there is no practical solution, that there's nothing they can do. You know, there's plenty they can do. We never solve any environmental problem until people get together and demand change. So that's one really important thing you can do, even by the simple act of voting, if not even better, by participating in groups, or even just, you know, talking to people, talk to your neighbors, talk to people in your church, whatever, wherever you go and meet people. All of that is really important. In terms of personal actions, if you're working and you have investments in your retirement, like a 401k, as we call it, you know, you can take a good hard look at those investments and try to decide which ones you think are good for the planet and which ones aren't. There are many ways to put pressure on industry to change. So what happens, if you don't mind, I'll just say I've written a book about this where I go through a whole series of environmental problems and I show how important those three P's are in solving every one of them, whether it's lead in gas and paint, or DDT, or smog, or the ozone layer, or climate change. The three P's start us off, and then what we need is technology steering. So what I mean by that is that people's demand for change will motivate industries to make changes. And it will motivate governments to do things that further foster those changes, even if what the governments do is something as simple as funding research to investigate what you can use in a spray can instead of a chlorofluorocarbon, or how good you can do with different types of batteries so that you can use solar instead of fossil fuel energy in your power plants. All those kinds of things are happening because people demanded it.
The one P that people never mention when discussing this, though, must be the P for population. And every person listening to this program in a Western country has got a carbon footprint of up to 10 tons of carbon dioxide per year. And the more of us there are, the bigger that's going to be. But no one mentions the fact that were we to have a much smaller human population, it was not growing at the huge rate that it has, we would have a much smaller problem.
You know, it's so much fun. Every time I talk about the three P's, everybody always wants to add a fourth one. And it's a lot of fun to think about them. The population issue is an interesting one, though. I take your point that the tremendous growth of population of the 20th century has meant that we have a lot of people on this planet, but we're not projected to grow that much more in the future. So, you know, we have on the order now of 8 billion. And sure, it would have been much better if we'd stopped at, you know, 3, but we didn't. And we are where we are. We have 8. The real problem today is that there's about 1.5 billion, maybe 2 billion people living a comfortable, if you will, developed country lifestyle like what we have in the United States and Britain. But there are some 5, maybe 6 billion people out there in the world who really are suffering and don't have the kinds of, they don't have electricity, they don't have toilets, they don't have the kind of healthcare we have. So, you know, that they develop is imperative. I think no feeling person could say that they shouldn't develop. But if they develop using carbon-based energy, fossil fuel energy, the way we did, this planet's going to get very hot indeed. So I'm arguing that it isn't so much the 20% maybe more people that we're going to have. It's the development of the people that we already have, who right now are emitting per person, I believe the correct number is about 5 times less per capita on average than we do. So you can run the math on that. And what you see is that if they use fossil fuel energy, that's what's going to cause it to balloon. But they're already here. It's not so much future population. You're right that perhaps we shouldn't have let it get to this point. But why did it get to this point? Well, partly it got to this point because we got so much better at growing crops. And so we could feed people more easily. We developed fertilizers. We developed vaccines and healthcare that, even though it's not complete, it at least does something about some of the worst childhood diseases. So survival rates are better. I mean, I don't know how you can be against any of that. What we need to do is learn how to exist on this planet sustainably, all of us.
Our thanks to Susan Solomon. And on the subject of climate change, Titans will be